Highly Questionable. I'm Mina Kimes. This is Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre. And, of course, the most important Levitard, Gonzalo Levitard. What do you like on the show today, Poppy?
I like everything.
Yay! Everything!
Everything! What is your reaction to Joel Embiid calling himself the best player in the world?
So Embiid had a huge night last night, 39-16. The Philadelphia 76ers, my Philadelphia 76ers, won by 8, but there was no Ben Simmons. Al Horford was terrible, and so here was Embiid.
You know, the All-Star game just proving that, you know, I'm here. I belong in being the best player in the world. You know, I just intend to just, you know, keep coming out every single night. Just play hard, trying to get wins, and, you know, just go out and trying to win a championship.
So this is obviously delusion. Joel Embiid right now is not the best player in the world, but the weird, fun, maddening thing about Joel Embiid is that he can make this delusion into reality. The whole promise of him being the process, both in nickname and in reality, is that he is the key to all of this. He is the best defensive player in the league when he wants to be. He held the Nets scoreless when he was defending their shots last night. And he's also the best offensive player in the league if he wants to be, because in a league that has gotten smaller, the big man has gone away, except for a couple of guys. Joel Embiid last night posting up beneath the basket over and over again. He can be unstoppable if he is in the right shape and if he's in the right mindset. And last night, he gave me hope that he can be both of those things.
So I wanted to troll our resident process cult leader, Pablo Torre, and argue that Embiid is better without Simmons, break up the Sixers. But unfortunately, it's not true. This is actually the first time this season he's played without him and scored over 20 points. And when they do play together without Al Horford, the Sixers have a net rating that would actually be fourth best in the league. Unfortunately, it appears that he's just better when he tries, which is a very old man take and a dad take, but is unfortunately true. Joel Embiid is that kid in class who says, I would get straight A's if only I studied. And unlike 99% of the people who say that, he is telling the truth. Unfortunately, I don't know how they can make him consistently try. It seems like Brett Brown hasn't been able to get that out of him, and maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this season Embiid going back and forth on trying to figure out who he is and how he fits into this, what role he plays. He's been booed. He's been trying to embrace that, but kind of struggling with embracing that. And then with the All-Star break and then at the All-Star game in this first game back, we've seen vintage Embiid. We've seen him trying. We've seen him doing well. So is he the best player in the world? No, but if that's the mentality that he has to get into to convince himself to go out there and do it every game the way that he can when he tries, then I think, yeah, let him say he's the best player in the world. That's what we want from athletes, right? Every fighter, every boxer thinks they're the best boxer in the world. Every UFC fighter thinks they're the best fighter in the world. Every sports TV personality thinks that Mina is the best in the world. It's just how it goes.
But can I ask for something else from Embiid, and that is to stop eating so much. And I hate being that dad.
What?
I really hate being that dad.
I got me and my two dads today.
I'm normally very body positive when it comes to the thickness of our athletes, but there is a book coming out on the process by Yaron Weitzman, and in that book, it is reported that Joel Embiid's order at Chick-fil-A is 4 spicy chicken sandwiches, 4 orders of fries, and 4 cookies and cream milkshakes.
Yes.
I love you, Joel, but I do want less of you to love in that way. So if you could help us out, that'd be great.
Look, when he was crushing it when he first got here, wasn't he shoving 2 cheeseburgers into his mouth at the same time on the sideline? Like, didn't that happen in a basketball game? Let him eat.
Yeah, turns out the processed is just processed.
Oh, ooh. Mina. That's why she's the best.
Yeah.
I've always said it.
Yeah.
Do you think Jerry Jones will be tempted to trade up for Tua?
So, draft prospect Tua Tagovailoa was asked on the NFL Network which team he would like to play for. He said the Dallas Cowboys. He's always been a fan and said he'd be content to learn behind Dak Prescott. I'll take this question from the Cowboys' point of view. No, this is ridiculous. They should not trade for Tua. One, because they already have a very good quarterback on their roster who they should have paid last year. Two, because they don't have the draft capital to compete with Miami and the other teams that are going to be in the Tua sweepstakes. They probably have to give up some stars, and in the end, it wouldn't be worth it. Now, that said, I do like this idea for another team with a veteran quarterback, because Tua is a perfect candidate to redshirt for a season and learn behind someone. It just doesn't make sense when you have Dak Prescott on your roster.
Yeah, Tua said this. He said that if he could play for a team, well, I've always been a Cowboys fan, so I would play for the Cowboys, and used a lot of qualifying words like probably, maybe, could tell you that I think I would like to play. It's like if somebody asked me where I'd like to play, of course I would say the Patriots. Do you think that's going to be a thing? No. If another team wanted me, would I play there? Yeah. We're looking at Mina, who's a big Seahawks fan and had an opportunity for work that made her talk about a team that she hates. You go to teams that you don't like because that's where your job opportunities are. We're reading way too much into what he said. Like Mina said, I think the most interesting thing is that he said he's willing to be behind a veteran quarterback or a younger quarterback like Dak and learn from them and sit for a year and get ready, because what we always see with these young quarterbacks that get drafted early is that the teams want to start them right away, and it doesn't always go well. So having a guy openly admit he's willing to sit behind somebody else and learn and have a year to rest and get in good shape is a good thing. I could also see a world in which the media spins it into a bad thing, that this guy doesn't seem like he's ready. Maybe he's still hurt. Maybe he can't come out and play right away. So I think all that we're going to learn from this is that Tua is going to get a crash course in how the media criticizes everything an NFL quarterback says.
I've learned something else, though, which is that Dak Prescott should probably quietly and understandably be hating the guts of Tua Tagovailoa right now, because you guys are right that this is unrealistic. But if you're Dak Prescott and you've just been playing hardball with not just Jerry Jones, but Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman over the value that you have despite leading the second best offense in the NFL last year, the last thing you want to deal with is some hotshot new guy talking about how he doesn't really want to bump you, except he would do absolutely that after 1 year. And if you're working for Jerry Jones, is there any guarantee that Jerry Jones is not sitting at home right now with a glass of Johnny Walker Blue watching this program being like, hey, you know what? Tua Tagovailoa would make sense. Why not? That is the total possibility that Dak Prescott needs to be considering.
Tale as old as time, an old man being tempted by a young prospect.
Are you kidding me? Tua is coming to Miami. Look at the weather, the palm trees, the sunshine, the beaches, you know, all year round. I'm telling you, it's a done deal. Forget about Dallas and any other place.
It's coming beaches. To Miami. It said beaches. Yeah. It said beaches. Beaches. It sounded like
yes.
Beaches.
Yes.
Wow, beaches.
So many beaches
of all different shapes and sizes, whatever you're into.
All of them.
The nightlife in South Beach. Oh, nothing beats the nightlife in South Beach.
South Beach.
It's Big Papi right on my fears. Looks like a snitch.
So in journalism, we call snitches whistleblowers, but Big Papi was answering questions about a guy he's already hammered in Mike Fiers, and this is what he called him.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why.
Oh, no.
Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season? When it was going on. Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
I don't know if you know this, but the reason David Ortiz looks like a baseball player dressed in full garb is because he is a special assistant for the Boston Red Sox. That would be the team that is awaiting its own report and investigation by Major League Baseball, allegedly due out next week. And so this is all kind of confusing timing. I understand that Big Papi and Pedro Martinez and many other players feel like Mike Fiers is a snitch as opposed to a truth teller. But if you are Big Papi and you are an employee of this team and you are awaiting that report, all of this mostly sounds like witness intimidation. Like, you're trying to convince all of the guys who left the Red Sox already to definitely not talk about all of the things, like, with 0-2 counts, and why have they been able to lay off sliders during that 2018 World Series run? All of those topics seem to be exactly what Big Papi doesn't want anyone else to talk about now.
When I first saw this headline that Papi called him a snitch, I thought it was similar to when Pedro Martinez said, you know, what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse, and you violated that rule, you know, that thing about protect your own, no one's going to look out for baseball players, we all have to look out for each other. But when you listen to what he actually said, he's not really calling him a snitch for telling. He's saying that he should have told while it was happening. So he's not really saying don't snitch. He's saying snitch when it affects you because you're only hurting other people's paycheck, which I think is kind of an interesting thing, especially given the fact everybody on the Astros at this point is a snitch because they've been granted immunity to testify, and that's what snitching is. So I'm actually less offended by his use of the word snitch, more offended by his use of the word chillax. He went on to say that everybody needs to chillax with their criticisms of Rob Manfred, and I hated that.
While I appreciate Big Poppy giving us the anti-whistleblowing take fodder this debate has been missing for a few weeks now, it is a horrible opinion. Katie, you're right. He did say not that Fires never should have told the truth. He said he should have told the truth back when he was on the team. But as someone who used to work as an investigative journalist before I became a woman whose job it is to be clowned by an old man on television, it's often hard to get people to come forward when they're embedded in the power structures they're trying to dismantle. That's why so often we hear from people after the fact or anonymously, and it's why I believe Mike Fires should not be criticized the way Big Poppy is criticizing him here.
Are you guys excited to see Marshawn Lynch acting Westworld?
I am so excited for the next season of Westworld. I think all of us, or at least three of the four of us here, have obsessively watched Westworld. It is a show about humans building robots that are also humans, and they feel and look like humans, but maybe we're the robots and they're the humans. It's very confusing. I still don't entirely know what happened in the last season, but Marshawn Lynch shows up. There is a screen cap. He is walking behind, I believe, Jesse Pinkman. And so Marshawn Lynch doing anything, Marshawn Lynch may be driving something, in fact. I am in on all of this very, very hard.
Yeah, I'm also super into it. I've watched both seasons of Westworld. I love it. I think, given the panel that we have today, I'm the dumb one who watches Westworld, so I'm not even going to try to guess Marshawn's role in the plot because I don't remember where we're at in the plot because my brain is a wasteland. But I will say, they said he's going to have a fun and pretty substantial role, which is very exciting. It's not just going to be a cameo. Somebody else here had a pretty fun and substantial role, and that would be Westworld Mina, also known as Elsie. And the saddest thing about this is that Westworld Mina is no longer with us. I'm pretty sure. Spoiler. I could double check, but I would have loved to see Elsie and Marshawn have some sort of interaction. It really would have done it for me.
So it's pretty obvious that this question is simply a premise to give Poppy a reason to queue up the end of Super Bowl 49. So I decided to pull an 8 Mile and write all of his segues before you can use this.
She wrote Poppy
I can
jokes.
Think of a moment where Marshawn should have had a bigger role. That was a pretty good performance. But what about this? Hey, Mina, I hear you like twist endings. Did I miss anything?
Hey, Mina, those lines are pretty good. But you know what my favorite line is? A goal line.
Wow. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on.
You know
on.
What?
Hold on.
Why didn't he run the ball? Why didn't he run
Brady
it?
I hope Brady goes to the Raiders, Katie.
That hurts, and you know that it hurts. That really hurts coming from you.
Coming up next on my Soul's TV show.
You got this, Kylie. I like the hype, man.
This travel.
Time to play the game that hopes Dan's hair transplant goes well today. Do your question.
You guys are wrong for that one. You give us topics and events, we question him.
Do you question if this was a good effort by Kylie?
So we have a Pistons fan, which is already a surprise, but her name is also Kylie. So let's see what Kylie got into during the Bucks game last night.
I like the hype, man.
This travel.
He seems dressed inappropriately for this.
Yeah. Oh, no. Listen.
Yikes. Oh, the recovery's good. Oh,
listen, is it though?
Listen, look at that. Okay, but listen to me. When you're about to do something really difficult and you know you're not going to get it, a lot of times you'll stop trying so much and you'll like kind of brace for the fall.
Yep.
She put herself fully out there.
Yeah,
no, it didn't go in, but she tried.
I have seen a lot worse on a trampoline.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Ooh, I don't like trampoline videos.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
God. Oh, yes.
All right. Yeah.
Why are you into it?
He was fine. The dog helped him.
His face.
Did I miss
she
something?
Doesn't know.
Wait.
She
what?
Doesn't know.
Did you miss?
No, no, the dog helped him. You're absolutely right, sweetie.
They were just hugging. They were just hugging very
him.
Hard.
You're so right, you beautiful beautiful.
Let's see it again.
No,
that's
we don't
right.
have to. I don't think we should show it to her again. No. No, just a beautiful hug.
Oh, that tail was wagging like that dog knew exactly what he or she did.
Do you question if this makes soccer more exciting?
So we're going out to soccer in Turkey, which means this will definitely be a run-of-the-mill clip.
Probably a really great play. Oh! Yay!
Yay!
Let him have the ball! Oh, they're taking it away from him.
No, let him play! Hey!
Very happy.
Rude.
Let him play and maybe give him a bath.
He looks... Oh,
are letting him play. Oh, I'm going to sob.
I feel like that's not an effective solution, though. Yeah, because of this.
Yeah, he's going to bring it
like,
back.
Of course.
I don't think they know the second part of fetch.
They found another ball.
They forgot the second step of fetch, which is the dog then brings it back to you, and you have to do it again.
Has anyone here ever even seen a dog?
That's not how you pick that up. Okay.
Why is this being handled by the players? A real Harry Kane 9.
Wow.
I waited till the end.
You want to see a dog that makes soccer more exciting?
Obviously,
sure.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. Thank you, Lenny. Oh, man. Ah!
There we go. That's the name of the game.
Look at him. He looks so guilty.
That official just had a flag in his hand and was just like... Do I use this now to pick it up, or
that
how
also,
does all of this work?
That video looked eerily similar to the highlights from my short-lived youth soccer career.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that thinks the show is way better today and can't figure out why. See or no?
You tell us what's on TV tonight, we'll tell you if we're intrigued.
It's a lot less sweaty around here.
Only marginally.
On Saturday and Sunday, week 3 of the XFL.
Let's go.
I am still trying to figure out what the X stands for, but unlike the Washington racial slurs, it turns out that DC's XFL team, the Defenders, has a fan base, so let's see what they are up to.
I need that.
Sports Center tonight, after Gonzaga and Pepperdine, highlights and reactions to the NBA.
That is like a thousand cups in a snake shape.
And the three-point contest.
This is remarkable teamwork.
Amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible.
Katie, are you intrigued?
Of course I'm intrigued. I'm not ashamed to say it. I've watched all the XFL games. I'm totally in on it. Go Vipers. Vipe up, baby. This is going to be the week that we score our first offensive touchdown behind Cornelius Corndog, our quarterback. Flowers is going to get his stuff together. Let's do this.
Nina, are you intrigued?
Katie could just make up names and half of the audience would believe that they were XFL players on the Vipers. Of course I'm intrigued, not just because my Dragons beat your Vipers, Katie.
Okay.
Hashtag breathing fire. Because the Defenders are actually really good, and Cardale Jones in particular has been shredding.
Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Finally, the NFL has some competition. The XFL is here to stay, buddy. I tell you one thing, if I were Fidel Goldell, I'll be worried about hanging on to my job.
I'm surrounded by corporate shills. Nina,
what? Maybe we just like the product. Sorry, Nina, that you're going to get fired.
What was the hashtag, Nina, that you said before?
Breathing fire. Hashtag get bit. Hashtag for the love of football.
Yeah. This is the XFL.
Sunday on ABC, Celtics and Lakers.
I am here for this kind of corporate shilling, the NBA on ABC, but we're mostly here because LeBron James has this allegedly photographic memory, so let's watch him prove it to us by describing a random meaningless play in the All-Star game.
Nah, Coach drew a play in timeout to get a pin down for Kawhi. We was doing the Toronto versus Philly game clincher play where you hit the shot over Embiid. They switched out on AD, and two guys went to AD, so Kawhi went directly to James. James drove the baseline and threw it to CP in the corner. And then CP drove middle, kicked it back to me, and they were scrambled defensively. For a second, I was about to go one-on-one, which you saw in the picture that I posted with me and Giannis. And then when I saw that Kyle Lowry was on Anthony, damn, that sounds crazy calling me Anthony. I've been hanging with your family too long, man. They call you Anthony. When I saw Kyle on AD, we just made eye contact and already knew he was going to duck in, and it was just a bang-bang play right there. So,
and your perspective, and just...
Yeah.
No, no, but he's in a different spot.
You ain't seen him. You ain't just here. He's in a different spot.
I broke that down. Like, I broke the whole thing down.
Yeah, yeah. But when you write the story, then he gets the quote.
No, I'm just playing.
Katie, are you intrigued?
No, sorry. My weekends are strictly for the XFL. And also, that just felt like when you ask somebody, like, how are you? And then they go on this big... long. It was very impressive, LeBron. Very impressive. A little bit less impressive by the fact that you pointed out how impressive it was at the end. But either way, XFL for me.
Mina, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I also got to check the XFL schedule before committing to this. I did enjoy Anthony Davis being like, yeah, I totally remember all of that exactly the same way, LeBron.
I was going to say that, but he said it first, so too bad.
All right, Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. But listen, LeBron, I also have a photostatic memory. I remember when you said that when you left Miami that you went to Cleveland because that was your hometown. Now you are in L.A., you know, so you turn your back on Miami. Then you turn back on your hometown, Cleveland, and now you're in L.A. probably in about 2 years from now. You turn your back in L.A. and you go to some other place like a hired gun.
That's just photosynthesis.
Yeah. Photostatic. Wow.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
You can catch Katie Nolan on Always Late, Mina Kimes on her 50 podcasts, and me on High Noon. Dan will be back on Monday, sweaty as always. Test Matt Kelleher's conscience.
By the way, that my bodily motions are so awkward right now. The sweat is spreading.